to the book of Matthew, chapter number 10. The book of Matthew, chapter number 10 is where we'll be tonight. A very familiar passage of Scripture, one that you've probably no doubt read and heard from many times, but give you a thought the Lord's given to us for tonight. Mark chapter number 10. I don't know if I said Mark or Matthew, but Mark chapter number 10. And when you found your place, if you want to stand, we'll read the Word of God together. We'll read verse 13 down through verse number 16. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. I'll give you a minute there. I think I said Matthew to begin with. Amen. Y'all pray for me, all right? Mark 10, verse 13, the Bible says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." Father, I ask that you would help us in these next few moments. God, I need you. I stand in need of the help of the Holy Ghost tonight. Lord, let us be a blessing and a help to this congregation. Help us to say what you want us to say. God, give us thoughts and direction, we ask in Jesus' name. And amen. You can be seated. When we come to Mark chapter number 10, we are in the midst of the height of the ministry of Jesus Christ. It seems that everywhere that the Lord goes, there's someone that is wanting him to touch them. There is someone bringing a family member to Jesus so that they can be healed. Even the Bible says when Jesus would go out into a solitary place, maybe to rest and relax and recuperate, when he would look up to the horizon, there would be a multitude of people coming to where he was at. It seemed that everywhere he went, there was somebody that was wanting a piece of his time. And it is during this hectic time in the ministry of Jesus Christ that a group of children comes running up to the Lord. Now, we are all familiar with this story. We know how the disciples try to shoo the children away, but Jesus rebukes them. He takes time out of his busy schedule and ministers to them. And we're very familiar with this passage of Scripture. But I thought about it one more time this week. I've always loved this piece of Scripture that the Bible gives to us. In fact, I'll say this, and this is not my message, but I believe that this story tells us as much or more about the character of Jesus Christ than any other passage of Scripture in the Bible. You say, how is that? I believe that this tells us about his character and the fact that these children wanted to be around him. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but children a lot of times have a pretty good read on people. They can tell who's kind of a good person, friendly person, and not. These people wanted to be around Christ. I believe that Jesus was a fun-loving, I believe he was a happy man. I believe he was a pleasant man to be around and be near. And these children sensed that and they picked up on that. And they come running to him in this passage of Scripture. Now, over the past several months, we have tried and been trying to make more of an effort to minister to our children here at Northside Baptist Church. We have been doing more with our kids, doing get-togethers and things with them. We have opened up new ministries so that we can teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have been praying over them that God would send us more young people and give us more ways and new ways to minister to them. I certainly believe, and I hope that you believe with me, I believe that it is important to minister to the young people of this generation. In fact, if we don't minister to the children in our church today, we will lose a generation. If we do not minister to the children today, we will wake up one day and we will find ourselves with an empty church and nobody sitting in the pews because mom and dad are gone and grandma and grandpa are gone and we did not teach our young people how to live for God, how to serve God, and how to take our place one day. And Jesus here has time to minister to these children. Now, with VBS approaching, my mind went to this passage of Scripture again. In my mind, I can see this group of young people come running up to Jesus Christ. And Jesus takes the time to minister to them in this passage of Scripture. In fact, I think that I'm okay saying it this way. It's almost like Jesus has church with these young people. You say, why is that? Well, anywhere Jesus was, there was church happening. Amen. The Bible said where two or three are gathered together in my name, it didn't matter if they were kids or adults. And so I can almost picture Jesus ministering to these kids, having church with these kids. But tonight it is not the children that have my attention. In fact, it is three groups of people that are met together in these few verses that gather together with this little group of children to have church with Jesus Christ. I want to show you these three groups of children and what they teach us. I want to preach tonight on this thought, having church with the children. Having church with the children. I want you to see the first group that is gathered together, and it is the parents of these children. And in these parents, I see a diligent plan. I see a diligent plan. Look at verse 13. The Bible says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought him. In verse 13, we read about this first group of people that attended this meeting. This group of people is not as obvious as maybe the disciples are, maybe the Lord is, but they are here nonetheless. In fact, they are represented by one word in verse 13. It is the word they. The Bible says, and they brought young children. Now, we never think about the parents of these children when we read this passage, but there they are. These children were too small to come to Jesus by themselves. In fact, Luke tells us in Luke chapter 18 that many of these children were infants. Therefore, there is no way they could get to Jesus Christ on their own. And so somebody had to bring them to where the Lord was. They required somebody to bring them. Throughout the Scriptures, we learn something about parenting. We learn that parenting is both a blessing and it is a responsibility. Would you agree with me right there? The Bible says in Psalms 127 and verse number 3, 4, and 5, it says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemy in the gate. The Bible teaches us that children are a blessing. Amen. Now, I know this as being a parent. I know there are days when you think those children are a curse. You think that they are a burden. And you just wish they would leave you alone for a few minutes. Amen. I thought Brother Travis spoke in tongues for just a second. I think he did. But children are a blessing from the Lord. God gives us children as a blessing. That is one of His greatest gifts. The gift of having children in our lives. Children will keep you young. Children will keep you on your toes. Children will keep you close to the Lord. Amen. But children are a blessing. But not only are children a blessing, children are a responsibility. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I believe that children are not only a blessing, but they are a responsibility. Amen. Now, let me say something right here, and I hope I don't lose anybody. I don't think I will, though. I believe that our nation has to be good stewards of our children. I believe that, don't you? Our nation, our country has to be good stewards of our children. I believe that our schools should be good stewards of our children. Amen. They should be able to go into an environment to learn and to feel safe and to not be bogged down by hell all day long. It should not be that way. I'm afraid it is. That's why I took mine out. But our schools should be a good steward of our children. I believe that our churches should be good stewards of our children. Amen. We must minister to them. We must teach them. We must train them. We must be good stewards of our children. But while I believe that it's true that our nation and our schools and our churches must be good stewards of our children, can I say to us tonight that it is not the job of the nation, and it is not the job of the school, and it is not the job even of the church to raise those children, but it is your responsibility as their parents and their grandparents to raise them the right way, teach them the things of God, train them in the way they should go. Don't blame the school for the poor raising of our children, and do not blame the church for the poor raising of our children. Hey, don't even blame society. It is the parents' responsibility to raise those children. Amen. It's amazing to me. I'll hear people complain about this and that. They'll complain about what's on television and what their children watch on television. Well, sir, ma'am, you've got the remote control. And you are bigger than they are. Amen? That's exactly right. We blame the school and we blame the country and we blame the church. But it is our responsibility given to us by God to raise our children in the right way. Parents in this chapter did the thing that parents should do. They brought their children to Jesus Christ. Amen? I thought about this. I see this diligent plan on the part of the parents. You say, what was the plan? I believe letter A, the plan was to tell them about Jesus. To tell them about Jesus. Now, I'm letting me use my imagination here for a minute. But I believe that in order to bring these children to Jesus, they first had to talk about Jesus in their house. Amen? I really think that's so. These children would not have wanted to go up to a man that was a stranger and just be around him. Children don't like strangers. But if it's somebody they had heard about, somebody they had seen mom and dad talking about, mom and dad were really fond of, and they had heard about him, they were more likely to go visit him. Amen? You know how it is. Come Christmas time, there'll be Santa Claus will be at the mall, and you'll start talking to your children days in advance. We're going to go see Santa Claus. You're going to sit on his lap. Don't scream. Do not pull his beard. Santa Claus, and you start giving him the whole spiel, right? You're getting them ready. I believe that these parents were diligent with their children and that they told them about Jesus Christ. I can imagine a mother sitting with her son or maybe her daughter sitting them down and telling them about all the amazing things that Jesus had done. Maybe I can see a mama as she's tucking her baby in the bed at night, and the baby says, "Mama, will you tell me a bedtime story?" And mama said, "Yeah, I will. Let me tell you about a man named Jesus. There was a man in the community named Bartimaeus. He was blind from the day of his birth. But baby, you'll never believe what happened. A man named Jesus come by and touched his eyes and made him able to see." They told their children about Jesus. I can imagine that mom and dad, as they would sit around the house, they would talk about the Lord. They would talk about what Jesus had done. They'd talk about all the great miracles and all those tremendous sermons. And the children heard them have that conversation. I believe they told their children about Jesus. Can I say to somebody tonight, it is your responsibility to tell your children, your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews, it is your responsibility to tell them about Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 through 9, it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and thy gates. Whenever I do a baby dedication service, those are usually the verses that I use. And then I'll ask the parents to enter into commitment with the Lord that they will do that very thing. They will talk and they will train and they will tell their children about Jesus Christ. One of the greatest things that you can do for your child is to tell them about the Lord. Another great thing you can do for your child is to have a real relationship with Jesus Christ yourself. Don't be a fake. Don't be a phony. Brother Dustin preached well on that this morning. But we need to diligently teach and train our children about Jesus Christ. I think that you ought to pray with your children. Amen. I believe that. I believe you ought to talk to your children about the Lord, don't you? I believe that you ought to teach your children the Scriptures, train them in the way that they should go. Think about this, the diligent plan they told them. But number two, letter B, maybe we'll say it that way. Not only did they tell them, but they took them. They took them. You see, in the Scriptures that we just read tonight, we notice that these parents did not just tell their children about Jesus, but they took them to where the Savior was. Now, I'm going to say this right here. There are people all across this nation, and there are people all through these mountains especially, that they will talk about the Lord from time to time. They will tell you that they are a Christian. They will tell you that their family is a God-believing family, but they make absolutely no effort to bring their children to where the Savior is. Amen. That's right. I would hate to think that when the time came for my child to accept Jesus Christ, that Jesus was a stranger to them. I would much rather tell them about God at home and bring them to the house of God every opportunity that I got, so that when it came their time to receive Jesus Christ, that Jesus was not a stranger to them. Amen? That's right, friend. We ought to bring our children. These young people running around this church, they cannot get here by themselves. They cannot be here on their own. It's going to take a mom, a dad, a grandma, a grandpa, a somebody to bring them to the house of God. Amen. And if you don't bring them, they don't get to be where the Savior's at. Amen? Amen? That's right. I thought about a young preacher boy in the Bible named Timothy. Young Timothy, the Bible said, had a good heritage, a godly heritage. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also." You see, Timothy was who Timothy was because a grandmama and a mama loved God and served God. And they took what they had inside of them and they passed it down from one generation to another generation. And so when the preacher showed up and preached Jesus Christ, Timothy got in on it too. I'm glad there was a Lois that passed it to a Eunice and a Eunice that passed it to a Timothy. Amen. And I'm thankful for some moms and dads that are trying to pass something down to their children in this church. And you know something that encourages me? It encourages me that there are even some, I'll say it this way, there's some Eunices in this church, Loises in this church, that their children do not bring their grandchildren to church. So you know what they do? They load them up and bring them themselves. I'm glad for grandma and grandpa that'll bring the grandchildren to church. Amen? I see a diligent plan. The parents are in this passage of Scripture. Number two, not only do I see the parents in this diligent plan, but I see the disciples. The disciples are here in this passage of Scripture, and in the disciples I see a disturbing pronouncement. I see a disturbing pronouncement. Verse number 13, the Bible says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them." This is the part of the story that we're most familiar with. When the parents of these children come to Jesus, the Bible says the disciples rebuke them. I can hear them as they tell the children to go away. "Jesus doesn't have time for you. Shoo, shoo. Go on, go on, go on. Get out of here." I can hear the disciples as they openly rebuke the parents. What are you doing bringing these children to Jesus? What are you doing bothering the Savior with these little kids? And I see a disturbing pronouncement on the part of these disciples. Oh, I see this letter A. I see that they had a priority problem. They had a priority problem. I'm sure that the disciples thought, now let's be honest, they thought they were doing Jesus a favor. They believed that the schedule, the ministry schedule of Jesus Christ was so busy that he did not have time to mess with these children. There was people to heal. There were sermons to preach. The Lord was ministering so great, he could not be bothered with these children. Now, I'm sure it shocked them when Jesus not only allowed the children to come to him, but he openly rebuked the disciples for trying to prevent this from happening. Can you imagine? Jesus is standing there and the disciples are trying to shoo the children off. And Jesus speaks up and says, boys, what's the matter with you? I have always got time for the children. Amen. I'm sure they were shocked when they were publicly rebuked, but they had a priority problem. The reality is that these disciples had their priorities all mixed up. They thought that everything else was more important than the little kids were. They are just little kids, don't you know? Amen. Right? They can't tithe. They can't do much around the church. Some of them aren't even old enough to be saved. They were infants. Surely you could do things more important than minister to them. That's what they thought. Their priorities were mixed up. But the truth is, these men should have known better. They absolutely should have known better. In fact, in the chapter just prior to this one, Mark chapter number 9, the disciples are having one of their great debates on who is going to be the greatest. It seems like that was always the topic of conversation. Who's top of the leaderboard this week? Who's going to be the greatest? And as they're having this conversation about who's going to be the greatest, Mark 9, verse 36, 37, Jesus takes a child in verse 36 and sets that child in the midst of them. And this is what he said in verse 37. And whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Jesus set that child down just one chapter ago and said, by receiving a child, it's like you're receiving me. And now here they are refusing to receive a child. I think our churches get it mixed up sometimes in our priorities when we think we don't have time for the kids. Amen? I remember, I don't know if I've told you this story or not, but I remember several years ago, Davina's sister and her husband was stationed in Sandy Hook, New Jersey. He was in the Coast Guard, and we went up there to visit them, and as part of the family visit, we were going to go visit a church that somebody had told us about, because Marcia was kind of needing a church at that time. We were going to go visit this church. And I remember going in there as a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. I can't remember which one. And Mallory was with us, and she was just a baby. And Bradley was with us, and he was just a baby. And immediately, as soon as we walked in the door, somebody met us and started telling us where we could take our children. We'll take them downstairs for you. We'll take them downstairs. And we said, no, they're good. They'll be fine. They're used to sitting in church. They'll be fine with us. And Brother James, somebody else come up to us telling us where we could take the children. And I kid you not, before the service started, multiple people in the church come to let us know how unwelcome those children were in that service. And it's so bad, Brother Scott, that the preacher got up in the pulpit before he started that night, called us out on the back row and told us where we could take our children. Do you know where we took our children? We got up and took them right out the door. Amen. Amen? Hey, I'm telling you, friend, we have got our priorities mixed up when we do not have time for the children. Amen. Anytime you are too busy to minister to a child, you have a priority problem. And anytime something is more important to you or your family than getting your children to where the Savior is, you have a priority problem. Dr. J. Vernon McGee one time said, God have mercy on any adult who keeps little children away from God. They had a priority problem, but not only that, they had a personal problem. These disciples had a personal problem. The truth is that the problem with the disciples goes much deeper than priorities. This was a pattern in their life. These men had a real problem with being unsympathetic. Think about this. In Matthew chapter 15, a woman comes to Jesus, and this woman has a daughter that is demon-possessed. Now, I can't think of many things that are worse than that. She's got a daughter that's demon-possessed, and she falls down at the feet of the Savior, begging Him to heal her daughter. And the woman will not quit crying out for Jesus to help her daughter. Oh, Jesus! And she keeps crying out. She keeps crying out, and eventually, Brother Scott, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 23, but He answered her not a word, and His disciples came and besought Him, and this was their solution, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. This woman had a demon-possessed daughter, and their first thought, would you ask her to leave? Send her away. That was their solution. In Mark chapter 6, verse 36, they are up in a solitary place in a mountain, and they are going to rest, and a multitude comes, and that multitude hears Christ, and the evening grows upon them, and they are hungry. And this is what they say to Jesus, Mark 6, 36, send them away, that they may go into the country round about and the villages for themselves and buy bread. Matthew 15, send her away. Mark chapter 6, send them away. Now the little children come in Mark chapter 10, and you know what they say? Send them away. You see, they had a personal problem. Them wanting to send the children away was not new. This was the third time they had asked the Lord to send somebody away. Let me say this, and I hope I don't hurt your feelings, but I'm going to say it even if I do. When we believe that it's a waste of time for the church to have VBS, we've got priority problems and we've got personal problems. Amen. When we get angry about spending money to host a revival, we've got something wrong with us. Amen. When we wish the church would kick somebody out instead of ministering to them, we've got problems. Amen. I remember a man telling me sometime back, he was part of the same church I was, and it seems like everybody in the church had a problem and he had a reason for him to leave. And I told him one day, I said, it's a good thing you're not a pastor. You wouldn't have anybody in your church. Yeah. Always send them away. When we have no desire to go out into the community and invite people to church, we have a personal problem. We ought to invite people to Jesus, not shoo people away from Jesus. Think about something with me. They wanted to send the children away. Do you realize, you study your Bible, these little children, the Bible says Jesus took them up in His arms. You show me one other person in the Bible Jesus took up in His arms. You won't find it. The ones they wanted to send away, Jesus loved so much, He held them in His arms. Number three, I see the parents are there in a diligent plan. I see the disciples are there in a disturbing proclamation. But number three, I see that Jesus is there. And in such, I believe we're given a divine principle. A divine principle. Mark chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. And when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased, and said to them, suffer the little children to come to Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Jesus does not just rebuke the disciples, he teaches them a lesson. In fact, the lesson that he teaches them is still a good lesson that we need to learn today. Jesus tells them instead of sending the children away, they should become more like the children. Well, let me say this just in case you need to hear it. Jesus said, become childlike, not childish. Oh, there's a difference. To be childlike was so important that Jesus goes as far as to say that in order to receive the kingdom of God, you must be first like a little child. So, preacher, what does that mean? I believe that we should be childlike in our faith. We should be childlike in our faith. A child is a perfect example of faith. I think you would agree with me that children live 100% completely by faith. They absolutely live by faith. Somebody once wrote this, children enjoy much but can explain little. Isn't that right? Most of them, most children cannot tell you what their parents do for a living, let alone explain to you how that job works, how bills get paid, how finances are handled, how groceries get paid for, how automobiles go. They can't tell you those things. They just know it works. I remember one of the girls, I can't remember if it was Mallory or Caroline. This was many years ago when people wrote checks. I couldn't tell you the last time I wrote a check, but one of them, we was at the store, and one of them asked their mama for something. She told them, she said, I don't have the money for that. I can't. And their response was this, but mama, you still have checks in your checkbook. They thought as long as there was checks in there, that I think Mallory still thinks that way, Brother Scott. You pray for her. They don't understand it. They don't know how everything works. They just know it works. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with me? It's got everything to do with you. Paul said in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Amen. Paul doesn't explain how it works. He just said, we know it works. Somebody say, preacher, how is God going to help me in this situation? My answer may be, I don't know how He's going to. I just believe that He will. How is God going to do this, preacher? I don't know, but I believe He will. God, hey, preacher, how can I know if I ask God to save me, He will? I don't know. I just believe that He will. Amen. We're all the time trying to figure stuff out. We've got it all schemed out and planned out. We've got our plan. We need to just trust God sometimes. You know why these children are so happy? Because they don't have all the worries that we have. They don't eat Tums by the handfuls to go to sleep at night so their stomach will relax, wondering how they're going to take care of their bills. And they don't have to sit and worry. They're okay. They just believe everything's going to be fine. And we sit and we wring our hands. We pull our hair and we worry and fret and walk the floor and can't sleep at night and worry and fret and cry. You know what we ought to do? We ought to just trust God. Just trust God. You should be childlike in your faith. I'm done with this. You should be childlike in your following. Let me say this. Children are completely dependent on others. Your children are dependent on you to take care of every need that they have. If they need clothes, they expect you to provide it. For a roof over their head, they expect you to provide it. If they need food in their belly, they expect you to provide it. They just believe you will. They're dependent upon you. Our Lord said this in Matthew 6, verse 30 and 31. He said, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He said, depend on me. You know, a child never one time worries whether they're going to be fed or not. They just know they will. They just know that you will figure out a way. They ain't worried about how you figure out a way. They just know you'll figure out a way to give them something to eat. Now, you don't always feed them what they want. But you feed them, don't you? Brother Travis, I bet there's never been a day one of them little girls or them little boys ever thought, wonder if we're going to eat today. You know why? Daddy's going to make sure they got something to eat. Amen. Every day. They never even think about it. You know what? They're dependent on Dad. We ought to be dependent upon our Father. Amen. Just completely, 100% dependent on Him. Most of us would be better off if we left out our sophistication, our knowledge, our wit, and just become more childlike. Allow me to finish with this, and I'm done. You have a great responsibility to the next generation. We have a great responsibility to the next generation. That's why we're going to do things like VBS. You understand that we have children in this church that are just on the cusp of salvation. Just on the cusp of salvation. And we're going to minister to them. We're going to keep ministering to them. But you have a responsibility to get them here. You have a responsibility to teach them and to train them at home. May it never be said of one of our children that Jesus was a stranger to them. I want to also encourage you to sit down sometime and watch your child, watch your grandchild. Just watch them. And in so doing, you'll see exactly what Jesus wants from His children. Trust Him like they trust you. I wonder, Brother Scott, how about you getting us a song? If somebody needs to pray tonight, you're welcome to do so. Hate to close out a service without an invitation. If you've got something you need to come pray about, you come at this time.